Praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm that wonderful, I guess. I don't know. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I again want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers.
Amen.
You know something? I'd like the mothers just stand one more time, the mothers. And I want us, even the mothers can clap too, but I just want to clap for all the mothers here this morning. Let's do it like we mean it. No milk toast. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for our mothers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, this is a great day to remember our mothers, even though every day we should remember our mothers too. But Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit be with us this morning, that your anointing be upon this service. Lord, that you will bless the hearts of each mother here this morning. Lord, there's a lot of things that are happening in mothers' lives that you know. And so, Father, we come before you, for you're the only one that can read hearts. You can read minds and lives of people. So, Father, we're going to commit this time to you for your glory and for your honor, because it's all about you, Lord. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not here this morning to talk about June Cleaver. That's Leave It to Beaver's mother, if you ever watch that show. Now, I've never had a mother that would wake up in the morning and have her hair done and wear high heels to make breakfast and vacuum the house and pearls around her neck. Didn't have that kind of mother. Had a mother that was under a lot of pressure with three boys and a girl, and we gave her a challenge. But I want to say happy Mother's Day to my niece Wendy that's watching today, and my sister Gloria from Glenwood, and all the other mothers watching also. We give you honor today. I thank God for the mother I had too, and I just appreciate mothers so much. And motherhood is the greatest, greatest ministry that God gave in this world. We do not realize how much goes into it. I watched my wife raise our daughter too, and naturally I helped, but she was able to do things raising our daughter that I couldn't do and didn't want to do. Especially when things come out of both areas. I'm the type of guy who would get a garden hose out and spray her down. That was my way of dealing with that stuff.
It's true.
Gave you some ideas, guys? No, it worked really good, though. But praise the Lord. No, sincerely, we thank God for mothers. And today, as I talk to you, you know, we have ladies in here that maybe you've never had children, maybe wanted children, maybe some of you just didn't want to, and that's okay too. Maybe some couldn't have children. And I want to tell you this, that even though you may not have any children, couldn't have any children, you're still a mother. You're still a mother. Because did you see these little children that we had up here this morning? These little boys and girls? Every one of you ladies is a mother to them too. You can encourage them as they grow. You can be an exhorter to them. You can minister to them. They can look at you as a mother image when they see you. And God uses ladies, whether you have children or not, like I said, God can use you. He put that nurturing within you, that motherhood in you. And only a mother can do. I remember growing up too, and you get sick. Nothing felt better than having mom put her hand on my head. Amen? Yeah. Something felt good about that. But it's because of a mom. And God put that in every lady. And if you're young in here and you haven't been married or anything, should Jesus tarry, be thankful, because God will use you to maybe raise a boy, a girl, maybe several, for his glory, to change this world. We need more Christian men and women married, having children. Amen?
Yes.
I'm going to give it straight. We got to do that, people. We're living in difficult times, and mothers' jobs haven't gotten any easier. And if you're working outside the home, that is not a bad thing. And we're living in a world where it sometimes takes two paychecks just to make ends meet. But God knows that too, and He's got a purpose and a plan. But not only that, God uses mothers on the job too. You're ministering to somebody at all times. So I want this to be an encouraging time. I don't want to come in here and talk about the perfect mother. That brings a lot of hurt. Because some of us have come from homes where maybe mom wasn't a perfect mother. Maybe the relationships weren't that great. Maybe your mother wasn't there all the time and you don't have the memories and you can't understand it. But I'm not here to bring condemnation onto anyone, any mother, because we all learn. I know that my wife and I, even having our first child, Amy, there, we had to learn our roles as time went on. Amen?
Amen.
But even if things didn't work out and that child is growing now and you don't have fond memories, God forgives.
Yes.
God forgives. Amen?
Yes.
And we need to do that to realize that being a mother is not an easy task. And they're not going to do everything right all the time or say everything right all the time. That's not to give them excuses either, but we're in the real world. Like I said earlier, we're not June Cleavers in here. Everything's not perfect. The real mom is the one you live with in your home. Whether that is good or bad at this point in life, God is able to do a work in each one of our lives and each one of our mothers. And He's still doing that with the mothers here today and those watching. God, the Holy Spirit, right now is moving upon women, upon mothers, young and old. He's doing a work in your life. So don't be discouraged. And I'll kind of touch on that as I go through here. But this morning also, I wanted to encourage everybody in here to be rapture ready.
Amen.
You don't know what that means? Rapture ready?
Yes.
The coming of Jesus, taking away, catching us away in the air. The world is wrapping up. We're watching Israel. We need to watch Israel. We need to pray for the peace of Israel.
Amen.
That's God's time clock. Things are happening, and they're happening fast. And God's going to come whether we want Him to or not. He's got a timetable. We don't know when that is, but He does. And we need to have our hearts right with Him at all times. And I want to encourage you, pray for Israel. Keep your eye on Israel and watch for the coming of the Lord. He said, I'm coming for those who love my appearing. I'm coming for those who love my appearing. So you got to love it. Just think about that. When He comes, no more pain, no more suffering, no more loneliness, none of that. It's all done with. No more death. What a great future Christians have. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's a whole nother sermon here. So a Mother's Day sermon for everyone. And guys, this morning, as I'm going through this, let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart too, because this applies to men in a way. But I want to emphasize moms today because it's important to for me to do that. And the following part of the title, as you see up here, his name is Elroy. Now, that's not the name of some guy. His name is Elroy. Say it with me. His name is Elroy. Then you say, why did I say that? Well, I'm very aware that it's Mother's Day, as you can tell. Many of you in here today are not mothers. You're men. You're men. No matter what society is telling us, you're men.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to keep saying that. You're men. If you're watching by Facebook, God created you. You're not a mother. You can't be a mother. You never will be a mother. No matter what society is trying to push upon us, you'll never be a mother. God created you a man. If you're in here, you're a man. Your plumbing tells you that.
Amen.
So that's just the way it is. And I'm going to buck that all the way. I don't care who gets mad. God did not make a mistake. He made women and He made men. Two sexes. And I thank God for mothers. Amen. I thank God for women. But men, Don't go bawling after this sermon because it's not for you. It's for women. It's for mothers today. And you'll never be, I'm sure we don't have any guys that think they're mothers in here anyway. I'm amazed at social media today. I got to get away from that. Wow. It's unbelievable how stupid people can be. But anyway, we were all in here once children, weren't we? We had to be. We were once children. And as children, do we ever like to be watched? How many like to be seen and watched when you're a child? Now, I know a lot of shy ones. I mean, I was super shy when I was a child, too. I mean, you know, I look like a tomato every time somebody looked at me. But I tell you, really, and even against that, the child wants to be noticed. They want to be watched in some way, somehow. And I bet you said to your mom, "Hey, Mom, watch this. Look at what I'm doing." You wanted Mom. You wanted her to see what you're doing and everything. And your mother looked every time, no matter how goofy it was. She looked at you. And that meant a lot to you and I when our moms would look at us or our dads. We all know that that's like a child wanting to see our mom or our dad watching us, seeing what we're doing, going to a school play, sports, whatever. And you know, when we'd look around, we weren't looking for anybody else to see us. We were looking for Mom. We were looking for Dad. We wanted to see that they could see what we're doing. And that's so vitally important to us. And there's a lady by the name of Nicole Johnson. And ladies, I want you to listen because maybe you can relate with this. I'm only going to read a small portion of this. Her name's Nicole Johnson. And she wrote this beautiful article. It's called "I'm Invisible." And so I'm just going to read a little portion of it here. "It all began to make sense. The blank stares, the lack of response, the way one of the kids will walk into the room while I'm on the phone and ask to be taken to the store. And inside I'm thinking, can't you see I'm on the phone? Obviously not. They can't. No one can see if I'm on the phone or cooking or sweeping the floor or even standing on my head in the corner because no one can see me. I'm invisible. Some days I am only a pair of hands, nothing more. Can you fix this? Can you tie this? Can you open this? Some days I'm not a pair of hands. I'm not even a human being. I'm a clock to ask what time is it. I'm a satellite to guide the answer. What number is the Disney Channel on? I'm a car to order right around 5:30, please. I was certain that these hands were the hands that once held books and eyes and had studied history and the mind that graduated. But now they all had disappeared into the peanut butter, never to be seen again. She's gone. She's gone." Have any mothers ever feel invisible? You aren't going to admit it, but I'm sure there are. You know, we got to learn not to take our mothers for granted. It's easy to do, isn't it? Because they're so good at what they do things we're not even aware of and take care of our needs and everything. And sometimes we can just learn to take things for granted and not appreciate them. Husbands, the same thing for your wife who's the mother of your children. We take them for granted and not realizing the efforts they put in, the things that God uses them that we have no idea. But we got to remember, we need to pray for our mothers daily. Every day, we need to do that. I don't care if you have growing children in here. We still need to pray for moms, even as they grow older. Maybe even more, huh? Praise the Lord. And as a mom, do you ever have a fear of being invisible? I think I've heard ladies say they don't even know I'm here. Nobody even knows I'm alive. They don't even acknowledge me. I can sit in a church and nobody will even look at me. You feel invisible. Nobody sees what I do and think, I don't matter. I'm insignificant. And there's ladies that think that. And like I said, guys, if it fits you too, that's okay. But that happens in life. I don't know if you feel like that as a mom or not, but we're going to look at a Bible story. And it's about a mother and a child who both are misunderstood. To explore the truth that is relevant for all of us, this story is in Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 15. If you brought your Bibles or you want to follow it on the screen here, I'm going to read through that quickly here. And so bear with me. How many are going to stay with me to the end of the service today?
Sure.
Praise the Lord. Not everybody raised their hand, but lock the doors. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abraham, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judges between me and thee. But Abraham said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as pleases thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. That word hardly in there, by the way, is that means she was beaten down. Sarah was beating her down, belittling her, putting her down, being harsh to her, hurting her. That's what Sarah was doing to Hagar. And the angel of the Lord, now this is important. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, speaking of Hagar, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, who by the way was God himself, said unto her, Return to my mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Here I am. Here looked after him that seeth me. Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it's between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abraham a son, and Abraham called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. Now, you know that word Ishmael in Isaac. You know the war between Israel and the Jews?
Yes.
Hmm? That's where it starts. Right there. But in this story, we see a mother, Hagar. She's an immigrant from Egypt and has no sense of belonging whatsoever as you read through the story about her. She's running away from a whole household where her body has been used to produce offspring for an infertile couple. Like many daughters of Hagar, she was mistreated. She is trapped in a system where she feels as though she's invisible. She has no rights, dignity, freedom, or choice, and she's had enough. And it's very hard to be a nobody with no name. She's referred to in verse 3 by Abraham as Sarai, as the maid and the Egyptian. They couldn't even call her by her name, but a maid or an Egyptian. Sarai and Abraham probably did not really see Hagar as a person. She was there to serve a purpose. They probably didn't even notice that she ran away. It would seem to me that Hagar herself doesn't really know what she wants. She knows what she doesn't want. She doesn't want to be treated as a non-person, as invisible persons. And there's even people coming into churches today that feel as non-persons. Nobody acknowledges them. Even think nobody cares whether you're here or not. We care. Amen?
Amen.
We care. She doesn't realize what her greatest need is until she meets the God who meets that need. One time in the church, prior to me starting this church, there was a man in the church. He was a real introvert, very quiet, withdrawn. And he came to me one time and said that he doesn't think anybody even knows he exists in the church. Nobody walked up to him. Nobody shook his hand. Nobody smiled at him. Whatever. But he felt that he was a nobody within a church of 3,000 people. He didn't feel like he existed. I like that man. He had a lot to offer the body of Christ. Even though he was shy, he was introverted, and he didn't know how to say certain things correctly or whatever, he has a place in the church.
Amen.
God created that man, and I encouraged him with that God did not make a mistake. And that man kept coming to church and coming to my Wednesday night chapels because I'm the only one that paid any attention to him. And I always made sure I greeted him when he came in. And that's how important it is to you and I, the body of Christ at Crossfire, when new people come in or even our existing people, we need to acknowledge them. Amen?
Amen.
We are the body of Christ. And we need to do that. I want to encourage you with that. Matthew 6:8 says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask." See, Hagar doesn't realize the greatest need she had until she met God himself. But every one of us have a need, and God knows that. He knows our needs beforehand. Hagar now names him in Genesis 16:13. Now hold on to this. "And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth him?" See, in Hebrew, God sees me is Elroy. You can call on Elroy. God sees me. Nobody acknowledged Hagar. Couldn't even say her name. But then the angel of the Lord, who is God himself manifest, said, "Hagar." He called her by name. God knows your names.
Amen.
Moms, if you feel lonely and exhausted or whatever, or you're angry or things are going on in your life and it's not perfect, God knows your name. And he sees you. Isn't that important?
Yes.
If nobody else does, I can assure you that God sees you where you're at. And he knows what you're going through. Hagar, who might feel insignificant, misunderstood, is actually very significant in our story today. Hagar, the Egyptian maid, is the only person in the Bible who gives God a name. Can you believe that? She's the only one in Scripture who gave God a name. She was very significant because she named the God who sees you. I don't know about you, but that excites me. When nobody else acknowledges me, cares about me, that I think, or think nobody loves me, I serve a God who sees me. I see a God who sees me, and he cares. She needs an intimate, personal God, and she meets that God. That's what she needed. "I have now seen the God who sees me." Moms, single moms, widows, grandmas, childless ladies, God sees you. He sees you every moment of your life. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not unto his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
Aren't you glad about that? God looks at the inside, not the outside. Oh, I think we should always try to do our best to look the best we can. But God isn't looking around who's the tallest, who's the best looking, that we as people say, or who's the smartest or what. God's looking at a heart.
Amen.
God looked at Hagar's heart. He's looking at your hearts today. Even while you're sitting right now, God is analyzing your hearts.
Yes.
Even while you're sitting here. The Holy Spirit is moving amongst you right now, and God is literally reading your heart. One of the things that hurts the most is when somebody judges you, but they don't understand you and they don't know your motives. How many ladies have cried about that, even in the home? We all hate being misunderstood. I've been misunderstood, and it's a hard thing sometimes when you're being misunderstood and judged for something that you know you haven't done or haven't said or whatever, and it hurts. As a woman, as a mom, sometimes you may cry out hoping that there was somebody who saw the inside of you and therefore someone who understood you. You ever hear your mom say, I wish somebody would just understand me, what I'm going through. Remember this. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God, the Lord, looks on the heart. You can be assured of that. The Lord is the only one who can see the heart of man. The God who sees, Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. See, Mom, when you feel burdened and you're in your home or in your car or maybe even at your desk at work and you're troubled and you're praying inside and saying God is reading your heart, but the most important thing, he sees you. He's looking at you. He's acknowledging you. And he hears your prayer. He hears the heart of your cry. He knows when you're misunderstood. And he knows how to let you know he understands. He created you. The Bible acknowledges and addresses this deep human need to be seen and to be known. God addresses that through Scripture in many, many. I don't have time to put them all in here. I'm picking and choosing here. That's why we say, watch me, Mommy. Watch me, Mommy. We don't want anyone else to watch. We just want Mom or Dad to see us. William Timaeus, a faith columnist, I think he's in Kansas City. You don't really understand human nature unless you know why your child on a merry-go-round will wave at his parents every time around and why his parents will always wave back. They can go around that thing 100 times. Hi, Mommy. Hi, Daddy. And you'll wave right back at them because they want you to see them. And you and I are the same way in a way. We want somebody to notice us, that we exist. We do. We long for God who sees, and what difference does that make to us? It makes all the difference in the world because to be seen is to be significant, is to know our roots and that we do exist. We need to be seen. We need that. God says in Psalms 139:16, this is beautiful. Thine eyes did see my substance.
Yes. Yes.
Now you abortionists, you murderers that kill babies in the womb. I'm telling it straight. I'm not judging you. You're a murderer if you're killing babies in the womb. God says, you need to read the Bible. Thine eyes did see my substance. You know what that word substance means there? If you look it up in the Greek, it means embryo. They question when a baby's a baby. Read the Bible. Yet, being unperfect, and in thy book, all my members were written, which is in continuance. You know what that word continuance means when you look that up in Hebrew? It means your days. Every day of your life, God has got it planned out in his book. All your members are written down before you were even born. And don't let anybody tell you that God doesn't. He knows. He knew you before he created you. He had your members all written in a book. And that's why the abortionists today can take a life and tell you it's just a blob of flesh. It's not. It's something God has been putting together in the womb.
Yes.
And he's got every part named. Whether you will be a man or a woman. Not an in-between. We're fashioned, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. That's God. I didn't make that up. That's God. I don't care if you're watching, you're mad at me, or here you're mad at me. You're mad or you're glad. But I'm telling you the truth. God creates us. He knew you before you were born. And he'd been working and getting our members prepared when that time came.
Amen.
No matter how you came into this world isn't important. The fact that you came into this world, God wanted you here. Because he cares. And he's seen you even before you were born. Elroy, the God who sees me. God saw us before anyone else did. He created us when he watches over what he has created. God's eyes are loving, and when we know that, we can relax in his presence knowing that someone that loves us is watching over us. And then you might say, well, what about the little babies that are born without arms and legs or defects and all this stuff? God didn't make a mistake.
He did not make a mistake.
Do you realize from God's vantage point, God sees every human being that's born, and that person that you and I perceive as having a real issue with not having parts of their bodies or out of whatever, from God's vantage point, he put them here for a reason.
Right.
He put them here for a reason, and their ministry is how they were born.
Amen.
And we, as that have it all together, can look at them and say, Lord, thank you. And that person can be an example. How come a lot of these, when you see them on TV too, they're watching these little children who have no arms and legs or the two heads or whatever the deal is, and they're always got a smile on their face. And we that got everything, we're spoiled brats. God wants us to look at them and realize that he created those very people. And one day when they get to heaven, they're going to see Jesus and they're going to look just like him. They're going to be whole. But they fulfilled their purpose in this world to touch people's lives. That's the God we serve, the God who sees you. I don't know about you, but I'm containing myself. I'm being very, very calm. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Glory to God. To be seen is significant, and to be seen is safe also. Jeremiah 24:6, for I will set mine eyes up on them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. Naturally, God was talking about Israel, but this is the word of God. It's a living word of God, and moms, you can apply it to your own life.
Amen.
We can claim the word for ourselves. For I will set mine eyes upon you. That's talking about those children of Israel, but he's talking about you too. He set his eyes upon you, and he sees you. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
Not our purpose, to his purpose. Don't be discouraged when things don't go right. Look to Jesus. Amen. Look to the one who sees you. Moms, maybe you feel you're a long way from where you thought you would be in life. You never dreamt you'd be where you were at. You say, maybe God doesn't know me anymore. Maybe God doesn't see me anymore. But I'm telling you, your Heavenly Father does.
Yes.
Your Heavenly Father does. My eyes, God says, my eyes see you. My eyes watch over you. Right now, he sees you. He's watching over you right now. Whatever struggles, maybe you don't have any struggles right now, but maybe you do. God sees you. He's watching over you. He is doing in your life what he's going to do and allowed to do for his purpose.
Amen.
For his purpose. What is it like to live under the gaze of a loving Heavenly Father? And he is a loving Heavenly Father. There's a beautiful verse in Zephaniah 3:17. It says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee. He's here today.
Yes.
He's here. Is mighty. He's mighty. He's a mighty God. Say it with me. He's a mighty God. Now say it like you mean it. He's a mighty God. Let the devil know that he is a loser and God is a mighty God. He will save. So he saves us. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Hallelujah. He will rest in his love. He is resting in his love toward you. You don't need to feel hurried in the presence of God. He will joy over thee with singing. Did you know that that's the only place in Scripture that God, it talks about God singing? Who's he singing to? He looks at us with joy. singing. Boy, isn't that going to be fun to hear God sing when we get to heaven? I bet we can't even imagine the beauty. We think some people on earth got great tone. Can you imagine what the Creator can do when He created tone?
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
It always is. The only place in Scripture where God sings. The beautiful verse also, again, I want to say this again, it reveals that He's the mighty God. He's a saving God. And He is a loving God, a rejoicing God, and He's a resting God. And do you know the feeling to be quieted by the love of God? He can quiet you down in the midst of trial and heartache and everything that's in the rush and things that are going on.
Amen.
He knows how to quiet you down when you trust in Him because He sees you. He knows where you're at when you're riled and you're angry or frustrated with life itself or whatever's going on in your life. He can bring rest to your soul. Psalms 33, 13 through 15. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. That's mankind. That's women and men. From the place of His habitation, He looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. Did you hear what I just said? He looks at all the inhabitants of the earth, everyone He ever created. He sees them all. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considers all their works. And then you jump to verse 18. It says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy.
Yes, yes, man.
I'm amazed at the people who can call God names. I was watching a clip of about a half a dozen movie stars who mock God. Believe me, they're not mocking Him anymore. Bad things happen. Now, that isn't God going around beating them up or anything, but you don't mock God. You fear God. We don't fear Him like some horrible person wants to beat us or harm us in any way. We reverently fear Him because He is the mighty God.
Amen.
That's why we fear Him. And He said, those who are that fear Him, His eyes are upon them. You still with me, people?
Amen.
Sometimes I get scared up here. But we understand that He understands as He looks. God understands everything in your life. If you say nobody understands, you can go to God and He'll tell you, I understand. I'm the one that created you. I don't care whether you're in here young or old. If you're a teenager in here, God understands where you're at in life. And that's why we encourage our young people to come to Jesus. Because they're going to walk, many, many teenagers. I just read a thing this morning about a 20-year beautiful young lady that died of cancer. They found cancer and 4 weeks later, she's dead. That's how quick life can go by, even if you're young. That's why we encourage people, get saved now. Get saved now. The verse I read in Matthew 6:6, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. To be seen is significant. It's to be safe. It's to be understood. But it's to be free. To be free under the gaze of your Heavenly Father, knowing that there is somebody watching over me. When in the depth, the deepest moment of your life, you can be, even if you're depressed or oppressed or whatever, you can cry out to God and He sees you.
Amen.
He literally sees you. There's somebody there that sees you. You are significant.
Amen.
The devil's been lying to so many people.
Yes.
We're living in a world right now where the suicide rate is up, over 34%. Because young and old are killing themselves because they're seeing what's happening in the world. They don't realize there's somebody that sees them. Because that's our job. We go out and tell them about Jesus.
Yes.
We give them hope. I love this incident in 2 Samuel chapter 6 when King David, he's bringing back the ark to Jerusalem. David, the king, had many people who looked to him. He only looked to one person. David did. He looked to God and he lived his life before an audience of one. That's who, when you come to church, you should be worshiping to an audience of one. Because
yeah.
He sees you.
Yes.
He looked to God and he lived his life. That meant when he brought the ark back to Jerusalem, because he knew how much it thrilled God, he danced for joy. Yes, David danced for joy. However he danced. I knew how to do the Freddy at one time, but... But we read in 2 Samuel 6:16, "And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." That's what David was doing. Hallelujah! The devil's always going to send somebody around to despise you because they want to know, how can you be so joyful? David was joyful. And he was not ashamed. He was not ashamed. I think that's an amazing passage because David doesn't mind what the crowd thinks. He doesn't care. He could care less what the crowd thinks. And that's where you and I need to be too. Moms, you need to not care what other people think when you praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Don't worry what they say. I don't care if they get angry, whatever. Don't care what they think. I could care less what people think. That's why I love witnessing as when I got to radically saved. I witnessed to everybody, young and old. I didn't care who it was. They made fun of me, called me names, whatever, ignored me. I had, like I said before, I had the loneliest coffee break room in the world. They'd laugh at me and they, you know what I'd say to them if you're in here, young person? I was only 21, 22. They'd walk in there and start poking fun at me, call me a Bible thumper, a Jesus freak, and all that stuff. You know what I said to them? I said, I love Jesus. He saved me from an eternal hell. I love him. I gave my life to him. You can point your finger. You can call me whatever you want to call me. But I love Jesus.
Amen. Jesus.
They never teased me again. Some of them got saved. I'm still that way today. I could care less. I praise him. One guy was using God's name in vain. Moms, teach your kids, teach them well to love Jesus. This guy was using God's name at a place I was working. And every time you use God's name, I say, praise the Lord! I did it like that. And pretty soon he went, what are you saying that for? I said, because every time you said God's name, I just got to praise him because I love him. He said, I didn't even know I was doing it. I witnessed to that man, gave him a Bible. He went home and witnessed to his family. It was exciting. That's what the world needs. Yes. Mom, raise your children to love Jesus, to go out and to live for Jesus. Yes. Are you free before the Lord, or are you always bothered about what other people think? The neighbors, somebody in school. I could care less. I wonder if you ever got over yourself that you can just experience God's joy. Because I tell you what, when you can get past caring what other people think, you just love the sense of the power of God's presence with you. Yes. He gives you a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes. What about to the point of being able to step into things, not caring about what people are thinking, but knowing this is the Lord that sees you. Yes. He sees you. You see, when God delights in us, we know that we are free to sing and to dance like David did. We can do that. Free to be goofy. You ever been goofy?
Yes.
I've been goofy. Sometimes I get goofy up here. And you think, don't you care what anybody think? No. Because if I did, I wouldn't be goofy sometimes. But I am goofy because I'm free in the Lord. I'm not a perfect person, and neither are you. And guess what, moms? I say this not as a downturn to you, but you're not perfect either.
Right.
You're not June Cleaver. You never will be. You'll always be mom. Praise the Lord, and I love that kind of mom.
Amen.
But David's dance was an expression on earth of God's joy in heaven. And God doesn't shut us down. He releases us. He doesn't hold us back. I'm getting close to done here. I shouldn't be. There's a whole lot about moms in here. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. How much of the earth? To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect. That word perfect there means quiet and peaceable. Toward him. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth. Why? So he can bash you with a stick?
No.
No, that isn't why he's looking throughout the earth. That isn't why he's doing it. No, that... He may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. That's what he's looking for. People who love him, who want to live for him, because he is the source of life itself. He's the answer to every issue you and I have. Moms, every trial that you're in, everything you're struggling with, even from your past and you're still struggling with it, God can be there and he can help you through it.
Yes.
And his eyes are looking for you. He said, I see you. I'm the answer. I'm the one that created you. I'm the one that wrote your members in a book. And I knew your life even from the day you're born to where you're at today. And no, you haven't made right choices, but I'm here to help. How we treat our kids. How we love each other's. All kinds of things God understands. I don't know if the thought of God seeing you makes you kind of cringe. Some people it does because they're living where they shouldn't be living. Doing things they should not be doing? Or does it give you courage? It gives me courage to know that God sees me. A God who sees. Most of us, when we come to God, we look back at our lives and our kind of fumbling journey towards God, and we can pinpoint times when we realize he was watching over us. Even though we weren't necessarily aware of it at that time, we worship a God who sees. The God that we worship when we come in here, he sees us.
Yes.
Just because you can't see God doesn't mean he's not there. Just because you think he's not there doesn't mean he doesn't see you. Just because I can't see him doing anything immediately does not mean he's not doing something. Because I can promise you one thing right now, based on the Word of God. God's doing something in everybody in this room right now, and you watching by Facebook.
Amen.
He's doing a work. You may not feel it. You may not see it right now, but it will manifest down in your life as it goes forward. And the choices you make will be a big factor. But God sees you. To be seen does not mean you don't fall. The Bible does not say no sparrow falls. It says he sees the sparrows fall. Just think. Those little birds, God sees them fall. The little guys that I used to shoot with my BB gun, now I say, Lord, I wish I hadn't shot any of them. I didn't know you were counting them. That's scary. But the Lord knows. I wasn't doing out of anything. It was just fact of life. Lived on a farm, that's what we did. Matthew 10:29-31, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall onto the ground without your Father seeing him. Every little sparrow that falls to the ground, God sees it. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Every single hair on your head and everyone that's not there anymore. God sees that hair, and he numbered every single one of them. He knows the number that fell out. Because he sees you. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore ye are more value than many sparrows. Moms, you're so much more valuable than sparrows.
Yes.
Ladies, women, God did not make a mistake when he made ladies and women, moms. But men, I want to encourage you. God sees you also. How you're leading your home. How you're treating the mother of your children. And if you're a single mom, you're playing both roles and God sees that and he wants to help you. He loves the single mom. The widow. See, we choose to have our own independence, to live with free will, and that's where we now live. When we stepped outside what was best for us, we knew it, and we hid ourselves so God wouldn't see us. We want to do it our way. But of course, God still sees us, and that means we get hurt, and other people get hurt. We always need to remember that. God doesn't prevent that hurt necessarily, but he always provides a possibility of healing. Even if it comes many, many years later, healing will come.
Amen.
It will come. You say, God, where are you? Well, he's exactly where he needs to be. He sees you. And many times, as you've heard other people say, when you don't feel God, that's when he's the closest.
Amen.
He loves every person who he's ever created. And that means you, and it means me. To be seen is to be loved, and God looks on us with love. He won't force us. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus, Jesus said, you love your money too much. It plays too important part in your life. I'm paraphrasing. Here's your choice. He made his choice. He turned away. He walked away, and Jesus looked on him and loved him, but he didn't force him to come back either. He didn't force him. You can do whatever you want to do. It's your free will to do it. And God will not force you to come back. The rich young ruler found that out. He loved money more than he loved God. And that's why prosperity preaching, by the way, today is dangerous. Because our evil hearts, we want to crave for things. Jesus saw the crowds. He wept over them. He longed to gather Jerusalem. He saw them, but they didn't come to him. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He cried his heart out for them. He saw them, but they didn't want him. And that's the way it is in the world today. He's crying his heart out for his creation today, and they don't want nothing to do with him. Although Jesus was physical present, many people still did not see him with the eyes that Hagar saw with God. Seeing God who he sees. What difference does all this make in our lives, really? The Bible tells us one day every eye will see him. What are we waiting for? If you're in here this morning and you need to get right with Jesus, what are you waiting for?
Right.
You can see him before you leave this room today. His Holy Spirit will come within you, and he will manifest himself through his Spirit, and it will open your eyes that are blind to what's happening in this world and even in your life, and you begin to look at life totally different and see Jesus. That's what happened when I got radically saved. I said, God, if that's you, I want you. And I took him. And I've never been the same. Been living for him for 50 plus years now. And I tell you what, I'm not disappointed one day. In fact, I'm just as excited today as I was back when I got saved.
Amen.
Because God's proved himself over and over and over. I'm encouraging you. What more does God have to do than what he's already done, dying on the cross, showing his love, letting you know that he sees you down from the cross? He looked at the world and he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He shed his blood for the sins that you and I will commit. His love is so great. And he still sees us and is still wanting to woo us to him, but he won't force us. People always say, God, how can a good God send you to hell? God sends no one to hell.
Amen.
We choose to go there. God has nothing else he can do for us. John 3:16, which we all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's so simple right there. God told us, I love you so much I'm going to let my Son die on a cruel cross. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. John 14:9, Jesus saith unto him, I've been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? How life-changing it is to go into every day knowing I can see God who sees me. Every day you can wake up and say, God, you see me today.
Yes.
Whatever you're going through, whether it's good times, bad times, you can wake up in the morning and let your feet hit the floor, and you can say, God, you see me. You know what I'm going to go through this day, and you see me. He's with you. He guards me. I'm the apple of his eye. You're the apple of his eye. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. God says, I see you. I'll instruct you. I'll teach you. And as I'm looking at you, I'm going to guide you the direction you should go. He guides us through this. The very thing a lot of people aren't even reading today in most churches. But when he sees us, he guides us with his eyes. Where he looks, we need to look. What he sees, we need to see. We need to see his goodness, his love, and his purity, and his holiness. We need to see that. What does that mean? It means God will guide us with his eyes. If I see where he's looking, how is he looking? Who's he focused on? Just as a mother can direct her child away from a troubled, meaningful glance. You ever see your mom look at you in a certain way? I wouldn't advise you to do that. So the believer who is back in fellowship with the Lord becomes very sensitive to the Lord's will through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. With his eyes. There's so much suffering in the world, but God is doing something. Even in the midst of this world, he's doing something. It's so easy to miss the people who God is looking at and loving. The disciple went to find food one day while Jesus sat on the wall and talked to a Samaritan woman. Do you remember that story? The disciples walked right by her, probably didn't even see her, but not Jesus. He saw the Samaritan woman. They must have passed by. They missed her. And when they got back, Jesus not only saw her and ministered to her and talked to her about her life and didn't condemn her, but he let her know that he saw her life and how she's been living it. And then he led her to believe, and even the disciples, when they come back, Jesus said, look onto the harvest field, for it is ripe. Yes. He saw the world. He saw souls out there that were willing to come to him. And he said, look, it's ripe. Go tell them. Go tell them. It's ripe. Because he sees you. He sees you. You cannot help but see him on the cross. What he did, the purpose of it. He was lifted up on the cross so everybody could see him. As people were looking up at him, I believe again, like I said earlier, he was looking at them as individuals. As individuals. God's able to do that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't look at me. Don't look at the person sitting next to you. Don't look at somebody that calls himself a Christian and they're living a terrible life. Don't look at them. There's many people will not darken the door of a church anymore because of the hypocrites in it. But if they entered in, they'd be one with them. We don't judge Jesus by what you are, even though we should emulate him. I don't look at somebody disappoints me or they say horrible things to me, even within the church, and they have. I don't get discouraged and want to give up my faith. I look unto Jesus. Because guess who was rejected of the whole world? Jesus. Moms, if you feel invisible, if you feel rejected, Jesus can understand. He knows what it's like to feel invisible. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows. There's nothing he doesn't know that you can't go to him and say, God, but nobody understands me. God says, but I do. Talk to me. Talk to me. I'll talk to you through this. That's how he talks to us many times, through this and through his Holy Spirit. I'm finishing up. I'm almost to that word. What is it, Amy? You're not very loud. Luke 22:60, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned, and the Lord turned, and the Lord turned, and the Lord turned, and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Jesus did not condemn Peter at that point. But as the soldiers are marching him away, the Bible says that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Not with eyes of hatred, bitterness. He looked at him with love. And Peter saw that love. All the things that were going on inside of Peter, the failure, the denying Jesus himself, and all the things that Jesus did for him, but yet he denied him. He was afraid and ashamed of him. But Jesus turned and he looked at him. And that's the way Jesus looks at you today, Mom. If you failed in your motherhood, he doesn't condemn you. He turns and looks at you and said, I love you. I can take you the rest of the journey. We know what happened to Peter. He had the greatest revivals after that. God restored him. You can be restored.
Amen.
You can be restored. Have you ever wondered when you read that? And Peter would have never seen Jesus if he didn't look back himself and watch Jesus looking at him. When Peter had failed, disappointed himself, denied Jesus, betrayed Jesus, momentarily taken his eyes off Jesus, but Jesus never took his eyes off Peter, not once. Isn't that incredible? So in conclusion, there's that there famous word that everybody's been waiting for. The highlight. John 20:29. Jesus saith unto them, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I believe Jesus is here today.
Amen.
I see him.
Amen.
I can see him in you. I can see him in me. I can see him in his word. I can see him. Just his presence is here today. And I want that presence manifest in the days ahead. We need it. We need it. What difference does it make? What difference does that make in our lives that God sees us today? But as you drive your car away from here, as you go to bed at night, and as you get up tomorrow morning, as you live your life, as you choose your career, as you function as a mom, as you go into a marriage the day you walk down the aisle and get married, God sees you.
Amen.
God sees you. The day you die in that hospital bed when nobody seems to care, nobody sees you, God sees you.
Amen.
Let's all stand. When you see, you believe. When you believe, you see. Hagar had longed to be seen by the Lord, and he met her because God sees her. I know you all probably got things you're doing with moms today, going places, so I won't belabor this, but I want to have all the moms, I want all the ladies just to come up in the front here. Whether you're young or old, I don't care. You come on up here. Mothers were created for a purpose in this world, the nurturing of mankind. Jesus' mother, she had hurts. She wasn't noticed. She didn't do everything right either. Remember, I'll paraphrasing, Jesus said, oh, Mom, why are you telling me to do this wine thing now? She didn't do everything. Let's kind of move in. I want to get you all up in the front. I don't want anybody down the aisle. I just want to pray with our ladies today, our moms, and you that, like I said, you may not have children, but you're still a motherly image to many young children that may see you in a church. They may look at you, may never say hi to you, but they see you as a mother in the church. They see you, and when you look at a child and smile at him, you're being a mother to that child. A nurturing a woman has a different way about herself to touch a soul, because that's the way God created moms, with a nurturing spirit. And by the way, God is not a mother. He's our Father. God knows how to put the nurturing within a woman. You can be rebellious and God will still love you. Doesn't impress anybody. It's best just to surrender. Sometimes we're so full of hurt, we just think nobody's going to make me do it. Nobody's going to make you do anything. But I want to encourage mothers here today. God sees you. And you gentlemen back there sitting, I want you to just put your arms toward the ladies today, the moms, the mothers, the wives, the younger people. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, you're here this morning. You see every mom that's in here right now. You see the one that's heart is hardened because of life that's been hurt, and they are fighting against it. But Lord, I believe you're going to break through that heart one day. They can be as resistant as they want. But Lord, I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit and by the blood of Jesus that you will bring flesh to that heart. And one day they will bow to the name of Jesus. And as every mom is up here, Lord, you are able to answer everything in their life. For you are the God of the impossible. And every question, every fear, every heartache, loneliness, whatever. These ladies, these moms, these young people or ladies are experiencing today. You see every one of them individually right now. And Lord, you're desiring to work in every one. You see the physical problems. You see the mental problems. You see the financial problems. You see the relational problems. Lord, you see the doubt. You see the fears. You see it all. And Lord, you're working on their behalf right now. And Lord, I pray for these dear ladies, these moms, yes, grandmoms and single moms and all the young ladies up here today, that they look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, that they cry unto you when they're hurting, that they not get weary, but that they continue to know that you see him. You are Elroy in their life. The God that sees me will continue looking at you and wooing you to him and let you know that you're going to make it. I pray that over every lady, Lord, that they will walk a victorious life, a conquering everywhere they go in the name of Jesus. You'll give them the wisdom to do the things, whether their children are little or full grown, Lord. You will give them the wisdom to speak into their children's lives, for they never quit being moms. You will use them at the right up to the moment of death. So, Lord, right now, we just surrender all these dear ladies, your daughters, moms before your throne right now. And I ask for divine healing upon their bodies, upon their emotions, upon their very being, upon their homes. Lord, give them strength where they need strength. Loose them from pain and heartache. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord. And we just surrender these dear ladies, your daughters, to you right now. And thank you for each one of them, Lord. We honor them in your presence today. We give you all the honor, but we only honor them as moms. But we give you all the honor as the creator of these moms. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, we love you. And I think we got flowers for you. Is that right, Amy?
Yep.
Who's going to pass those out? Not me. I might give the wrong one to the wrong lady and they'll swap me with it. Have a blessed Mother's Day today. Be safe. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You can have one too, Bonnie.
Can I?